Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Now, this morning when I was here in the second service in particular, there was a strong presence of angelic beings. I have holy angels, of course. Not too many demons around these days for some unknown reason. But as a seer, for those of you who understand the prophet, and please don't get mad, I never called myself a prophet. God did. You got an issue with it, go speak to him about it. But greetings from Africa, greetings from the continent of light. For too long it has been called the dark continent, but we've been prophesying 30 years into the future. And I remember, you know, before the year 2000, we were prophesying beyond the year 2000. Then we were called heretic and we were called false prophets because we dared to prophesy beyond the year 2000. Well, the year 2000 came and went, and then there was the Y2K. And, dear Lord, then 2012 was the end of the world. And then now, you know, the people are selling their dogs because Jesus is coming. Yes, he's coming. No, but nobody knows when he's coming. Only the Father knows. Amen? So the sort of idea is to be expectant that Jesus could return right now while I'm preaching to you. And then, of course, I'll go and you'll all stay. But no, no. And then... You know, or it could take another 50, 100 years. We don't know. So the key is to be ready now and plan 100 years ahead. Amen. That way you kind of like, you know, you're ready for all things. But there is something that, listen, there's a lot I could go off on prophetic tangent. We've got 3 nights. So I'll be able to try and unpack what it is that I'm seeing on the planet. And, man, God is good, you know. You know, it's the goodness of the Lord that leads a man to repentance. Amen. It's God's goodness that leads us to a place of change. But anyway, let me get into my message as best as possible. The fact of the matter is that in times past, I would see, for example, you know, I'd be in a nation and interceding for that nation or praying for that nation, ministering in that nation. And then suddenly I'd have a vision and I would see, say, an angel come into the nation. And usually it's Michael. Michael, the archangel, is the one that I would see. And I would say to God, who's this? And then God would tell me, it's Michael. Then, okay, there's going to be massive warfare here in the nation and so forth. And sometimes I'll prophesy about it. Most times I'll just keep quiet. But that is what I've seen. 3 times I saw that. I saw it once in Florida, I saw that once in South Africa, and I saw it once in Reunion Island, France. And when that angelic being comes into the earth, comes into the nation, Michael is a warring spirit. He's obviously broken through because of the reality of intercession and fasting. Just like that, Daniel fasted. And he prayed for 21 days. And the angel said in Daniel 10, he said, from the very first day that you opened your mouth, you know, we heard your words, we heard your prayers, and we have come because of your words. So words are powerful. So the intercessors obviously have been doing their job. And this is about 2-3 years ago that I saw these events. I hope I'm not boring you. I'm going to try and trying to get to a point with such little time to share it with you all. But then I began to see something that I'd seen only kind of in the demonic realm. And that is, how do I explain it to you guys in the spirit? In the realm of the spirit, the unseen world, if you will, having eyes to see, they cannot see. Having ears to hear, they cannot hear. And a prophet's function is to get you blinded to your circumstances so that you can see. Just like it was with Elisha and his servant. The Elisha and the servant both saw the military might that came to bring death and destruction. The one freaked out. The other one said, don't worry. There are more than those who are with us than there are with them. But he had to get him blinded to the circumstances so he could see. And when Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see, when he saw horses of chariots and fire all round about Elisha. And let me tell you something, right here, right now in this place, there be horses of chariots and fire right here, right now. There is the fire of the Holy Spirit all over this place. Now, there have been many visions over the years, but, and visions are not strange phenomena. I don't have them all the time, but quite a bit. But I've been praying in certain locations, geographical locations, and suddenly I'll see, for example, evil spirits, and I'll see, sometimes you'll see one or two, sometimes you'll see hundreds. They like a swarm, like swallows. Bible talks about just like thousands, hundreds of them. And then you'll see, because of the intercessors in the city, I begin to see those things fall out of heaven. They literally, they fall like lightning, like it. I haven't seen that often, but I have seen it two or three times. There's a point that I'm getting to. I've seen that in the demonic realm. But I've never ever seen what I've seen as I've seen in this year. And that is holy angels, plural, holy angels descending into regions. Like not one, like I was talking about earlier, but like 20, 30, 100. They just... And it began to amuse me, because in the prophetic, you see a lot, but you know, I'm only realizing 28 and a half years later that not everybody sees what I see. I thought it was normal. I thought all Christians, I didn't grow up in the church, thank God. That would have really messed me up. But, so, you know, I thought it was normal, you know, but I, then, you know, I'm starting to understand it's, you know, and we all have the ability to see, because we all have the spirit of prophecy. You cannot present the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you have the spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter number 19, verse 10, the B part, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word "do not despise prophesying" literally speaks of someone punching someone in the nose or shoving your finger in the eye. And then, of course, we all know we have the gift of prophecy, which is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Amen. And then we have the office of the prophet, which when I've been here before, I've dropped a few nuggets on the subject. I'm sure Pastor Alex and the leadership here have taught you on the subject. So I'm not going to go into detail. I want to tell you what's happening right now on the earth. So I began to have these visions. I think I saw it about three times. And in different nations. And I began to wonder, what does this mean? What does it mean? And there were other things God was sharing with me. I'd shared a little bit with you in the second service. The first service was different. Second service was different. God changed my message. But I want to tell you what is happening in the spirit. Is that okay? Which will ultimately translate into affecting our lives. For those of you who were here, I think in the second service I said, God is wanting to give us illumination. Paul the apostle prayed in Ephesians that he said, God, give us, I pray that you would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened, that they might come to the knowledge of the hope of his calling, of the riches of his glory that is inside the saints, and the excellent, exceeding greatness of the power of God towards those of us that believe. There are three things you cannot be taught with a natural academic understanding. That's your calling, the riches of his inheritance that's locked up inside of you. Plutocratus is the English terminology, which means what you and I have inside of us is so much, you can never run out of him. You can never run out of Jesus Christ. Okay, some of you look thoroughly bored, but God bless you anyway. And the exceeding greatness of his power towards those of us that be, talking about his resurrection power. I wish you could see yourself the way I see you. You wouldn't look so sad. When we only operate in revelation, you'll find that oftentimes the church's expression becomes foolish at best, satanic at worst. Revelation, the Greek word apokalypto, means to take the lid of that which has always previously been there. It's always been there, but you didn't discover it. The lid is taken off, and now you see it. So you discover truth that was previously hidden from you. It's always been there. But revelation is the discovery of truth that's always been there, but has been hidden from you up until that point in time. Revelation is great. We've gone through over 500 years of revelation. It's been wonderful. Little glimpses of illumination here and there. But illumination is understanding the previously hidden truth now discovered. And there's one thing to know truth. It has the power to produce freedom and liberty. But it still can cause Christians to be foolish in their expression. Simon Peter, just for those of you who don't know, let me just recap a little bit. Please help me. Are you guys okay? I said, believe, okay. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, some say John the Baptist, some say this, some say that. But Jesus didn't want them to tell him what they had heard about him and give him like a secondhand type experience. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And they kept quiet until Simon piped up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus got excited and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed apokalypto this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever things you shall bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he goes, and this is very powerful, by the way, because if you really understand what that means in the Greek grammatical structure, you know, you always get these clever academic Christians. "Well, if you bind the devil today, why is he loose tomorrow?" Well, you're just very clever. That's the problem. To bind and loose, the authority given to believers to bind and loose, simply means what you allow on the earth shall be allowed in heaven. And what you disallow on the earth shall be disallowed in heaven. Do we really know as Christians just how much authority we have in the name that is above every name? His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know that in that name every knee shall bow? I don't care if it's cancer, sickness, HIV, death, it must bow its knee. Okay, I need to calm down a little bit. Okay, so now Jesus goes on to tell Simon that you're no longer Simon, you're Peter, blah, blah. And then he speaks with direct speech. It's not even dark speech. It's not even hidden sayings. It's not even a riddle. It's not even an enigma. He speaks to Peter and tells him, "I must go to Jerusalem. I must be crucified. I must die. They're going to bury me. On the third day, I rise again." And Simon, with his revelation, rebukes the Messiah and says, "Not so, Lord," trying to hinder and stop the very will and the plan and the destiny of God for all humanity. So never get a big head when you get your revelation, because a lot of people with all their revelation can become sometimes the biggest stumbling blocks to the move of God's Spirit. And that's why, in order to experience true revival and divine expression on the earth, in other words, for you and I to go beyond being the mouth saved and going to heaven. But you listen to many Christians speak and they are the mouthpiece of Satan. No, not here now, I know. But trust me, I deal with Christians around the world. They open their mouths. You'll think the devil's talking to you. And in some cases he is. Because how many of you know Satan cannot destroy the church from without? Wasn't the sinners, the heathen that nailed Jesus to a tree? It was religious people that disliked his expression. If you really study it, they didn't like his expression. He didn't come the way they expected him to come. He didn't behave the way they expected him to behave. He didn't eat the way they expected him to eat. He didn't hang out with the people they expected him to hang out with. He didn't manage the ministry the way they expected him to manage it. Judas didn't want Jesus killed. He wanted Jesus corrected, if you study it. That's why he threw the 30 pieces of silver back when they found out they'd crucified Jesus, and he went and hung himself. But that was never his intention. His intention was to get the religious system to correct Jesus because he wasn't behaving the way they expected him to behave, and that was to overthrow the Roman Empire so they could rule and reign as zealots. And so many have been persecuted and killed and destroyed because they did not dance to the religious tune, sans Holy Spirit. Now there is a good, undefiled religion. That is the church. But remember, religion is a belief system. We have a good belief system in Christianity if you look at it. But without the Holy Spirit, it just becomes death. Best way I can describe it is death warmed up. Okay, I better get to my message. I don't know where we were going there. Okay, so what God is saying to us as the church is that we're on the brink of one of the most radical moves of God that planet Earth has ever seen. I know the religious people will hate me for it because it's the end and the beast is going to get you and the 666 and the mark and the Antichrist. And you ain't going to be here for that, honey. You're not going to be here for it. I've studied it for 20 years. Listen, I cannot be a prophet and prophesy unless I know prophecy. And 70% of the Bible is prophetic. Goose Fraba. Sorry, I get worked up over a religious spirit that's trying to hinder. I'm talking about universal. I'm not talking about in here. I'm talking about a force that wants to suffocate God's people and stop their sight and stop their hearing. Because if he can stop your sight and he can stop your hearing, there is no transformation. And if there is no transformation, because there's no reconstruction of your perceptions, you cannot prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll be floating around like some dude tripping on acid. Romans chapter 12 doesn't use acid, but says, think of yourself soberly, as you ought to think. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself soberly. In other words, don't think like a dude tripping on acid or somebody that's really out of it on alcohol. You know, a guy that's drunk, he can do anything. Obviously, you've never been drunk, but And for those of you who ever tried acid, you'll know what I'm talking about. You think you can fly. You can't fly. Amen. You're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You got to think of yourself soberly, as unto each one is given a set metron, measure of faith, which comes from hearing. Outside of that, you cannot prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But that's all changing, because God is busy in the earth. Regardless of the media, regardless of your failures, regardless of your sins, here's the beauty about this revival. Whether you think you're in or whether you think you're out, if you're a believer, God's going to take you in. And it's just going to sweep you right into the fullness of what God has for your life. Okay. So, what is the Spirit saying to us? It's talking about illumination, understanding. And illumination is powerful. Because when you have revelation and illumination, you have what we call a divine expression. Come on, America. How many of you would like a divine expression? How many of you would like to go to work one day full of love, and that poor person that's been bound by 20 devils, just look at them and say, go. How about going to that hospital and that one that is really sick and dying of cancer, and just say, I bind this cancer. I break this power. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And see, that's a divine expression. When you walk into a drug den and you don't even say a word, and the addicts just begin to weep and they fall on their knees and they scream out, what shall we do to be saved? That's a divine expression. It's where no matter what is happening or what is coming against you, there is the joy of your salvation. And it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that joy is coming back to the body of Christ, because you cannot have strength without that joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I hope I'm not shouting at you because I can't hear. Is that okay? Okay, so let's get back to these visions quickly and take it out of the word. What does it mean? Well, I always have to go and search the scriptures. Always have to find what I'm seeing in the Bible. No revelation can violate the truth of God's word. When I was a young man, I still am, but when I was younger, when I was 5 years old, I was younger than you, Anastasia. I was 5 years old. And in Africa, I had a visitation from demonic forces. I didn't understand what was happening then. My parents weren't church going. And these three evil creatures, very evil, grotesque looking, like some of the toys you let your children play with, like that. And they were in front of my cupboard and they were staring at me. And I'm not going to say the whole story because of time, but they were calling me and they were saying, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Three times, satanic call. So Satan was calling me to follow him. And I was freaking out. My dad wanted to give me a hiding because I kept on screaming every time they appeared. And then suddenly, a big ball of fire manifested in the corner of the room. Still didn't know what was going on as a child. But I remember when that fire manifested, those evil creatures disappeared just like that. And I was later to learn, as I read the scripture, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's about seven of you sitting here, you've been tormented by evil spirits, and I will deal with them tonight. To hell with the devil, okay? But the fact is that I realized that ball of fire was a holy angel. So let's get to the scriptures. If you don't mind, please, I'll read out of the New King James Version for the sake of being easy. These holy angels. Now please, we're not here to worship angels. I very seldom even talk about angels. But I have to talk about them now because I keep on seeing them. Now, there have been times when I've been to services, not every Sunday, not every day, not even every year. But there have been times when I've been to a church service like this and I'm standing there. And I'll never forget one church. The very first time I had a vision like that, I'm looking at the church and there were these four guys, three or four guys standing, big guys, no wings, but very big guys. They were standing like this, just watching the service, checking, watching all the people. Angels are watching over you. And I found it very fascinating that that's all they were doing, is just watching, checking out the proceedings. Maybe deciding who to go home with and who to let go home on their own. Another time in America, I was in a church, not a big church, but as I was busy ministering, I saw these angels coming in carrying like incense things. They would go to the people and they would take a coal of fire and touch their lips like that. They would bypass others and go, no, and touch that one like that. But now I've seen something different. I've seen angels descending into the earth like I've never seen before. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14. Let's just look at these ones that I'm seeing and what their function is. Is that okay? Because remember, like I've said, sometimes I'll just see four. Sometimes I see just one. But I have never seen what I'm seeing now, the amount of angels that I'm seeing dropping out of heaven in regions around the world. Concerning the holy angels, the writer of the book of Hebrews, some scholars think it's Paul, some people don't know, but okay, let's whoever wrote it, let's say Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talking about these holy angels. Now you get angels that war. When I got saved, that's what was happening. Okay, I'm not going to share my testimony, all right, okay, but the fact is that there were Christians praying in the region. I was demon possessed, not oppressed. I was called to follow Satan at the age of 5. Don't tell me these things don't exist. And the people praying in the region were having such an effect on the spiritual atmosphere that the power, I didn't know what was going on then, but I understand now, the power of God came into that room. And suddenly I dropped to my knees and I cried out these words, quote, I still remember it like yesterday, 28 and a half years ago. And I said, quote, if there's a God in heaven, where are the true Christians? Unquote. Because Satan had drawn a line. And I knew if I crossed over that line, I would never be able to return. I knew I would spend eternity in outer darkness. I knew it. I just knew it. And the Holy Spirit was all over the place, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. Yes, as a simple prayer like that. The thief on the cross just said, remember me, Lord. Sometimes we get a little too technical. Simple cry. A simple plea like that, just 1 second, that's all it takes. One prayer is all it takes. Suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. You can drop the piano just a little bit here if you're able. Thanks, my dear. You're doing beautifully. Thank you. But thank you. That's great. That's perfect. But the fact of the matter is, suddenly my eyes went open and I saw angels on the one side and I saw demons on the other side, and they were fighting. And I knew they were fighting for my soul. And God, long story short, supernaturally took me to a place where I've been submitting to since I got saved. But let's get back to these angels. Because what angels am I talking about? There are different kinds of angels. I remember praying for one person once, and they phoned me and begged me to stop praying for them. I said, why? I said, I can't handle the angels. I said, what do you mean? She said, last night an angel stood at the foot of my bed. I said, what was the angel's name? She said, Gabriel. Unsaved as a coot. Wanted nothing to do with God. And there was a messenger angel. But now, these angels that I'm talking about, are they not all ministering spirit. Send forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's talking about those who have and those that yet will. To minister means to serve. Okay, you don't seem too excited about that, but let me tell you something. You know, looking at some of you, there'd be about 3 or 4 angels around some of you, and I'm not spooky spiritual, and I don't get into this stuff. And Alex, you've known Pastor Alex, you've known me for years. I don't talk about this stuff. But I've got to, because that's the word of the Lord for tonight. And these holy angels are here to serve. And that's good news if you knew how many demons they'd be running around. All right. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit? Now that word inherit is a powerful word in the Greek. To minister to those until they inherit, or to take them towards salvation, away from that which is negative. I'm just reading it out of the Greek for you now. You okay? To take possession of, to be an heir, to inherit those who are called to be heirs, to maintain as a possession, to take possession of, to be given an inheritance, to be assigned something, to seize, to grasp, to hold on to. And now the root of this is so. Am I boring you guys? Please help me. I said, believe, Pastor, help me. To dispossess. He's talking about you now, of course. And your families. And your children. What I've learned in 28 and a half years, whether you understand this or not, you and your house will be saved. You and your house will be saved. Incredible. It means, now here's what it means. Through all of this experience of the words I've just said to you now, it means those that are to know, to notice, to hear of, to learn, to realize, to begin to understand. Understand what? That there's something for you to possess. There's something for you to seize. There's something for you to occupy. There's an enemy to dispossess. And you have Christ in you, and you have His holy angels there to serve you in the administration of your functions on the earth, wherever you may be. I don't know, but maybe it doesn't excite you. I don't know. But I mean, when you've got a Satanist running at you with a knife that big, you better have something a little bit more than your understanding. When you've got someone kidnapping your child and trying to sacrifice them to Satan, you better have a little bit of understanding, a little bit of realization, a little bit of knowing, a little bit of understanding of who you are in Christ and what has got and who has got your back. And these are true stories. When they kidnapped my son, this is in the news, this is on CNN, this is on the front pages of newspapers. When they kidnapped my son to sacrifice him because of the work I was doing to help the Satanists come out of the occult. I haven't got time. I mean, what do you do? bad boy, what you gonna do? You better know who you are as an heir in Christ. You better know, not your denomination or your academic faith. You better know that you know that you know that greater is He who is in you than he is in the world, and that He has servants that are there to minister to you on your behalf in the event of that dynamic. And it takes one prayer, just one prayer, and for 45 minutes that witch could not slit his throat. When that Satanist ran at me with a knife and he demonically switched off the lights, there was an angel next to me that smacked him right off his feet. You know what? We need to tell the American church this. I've only read one scripture, for goodness sake. Come on, people. I need you to know this. Because you need to know that God is for you, not against you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And I've never been one to worship, and we are admonished in scripture by the angel himself not to worship angels in Revelation chapter 19. So we're not here to worship angels. I'm just here to tell you that God is sending angels into the earth on your behalf to serve you and your children and your loved ones. What did the angel say to John? I am your fellow servant. Worship God. I am your fellow servant. As much as what you are a servant of Christ, those angels assigned to you are servants as well. I've never spoken like this, not in 28 and a half years. I'm speaking what I'm seeing. And these angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. And the word salvation doesn't mean what we think it means. Only. It means also. It means to be safe. To be safe. To be contracted to. It means to make safe, to make a safe sound. It means to deliver from a direct threat. It means to be replaced by safety, to be derived from, and largely meaning the use of, presenting special breakthroughs. The latter will be treated only after the first two, even though this does not follow the story. It's giving you a whole big thing. It's like a book there. Amen. But simply it means for those who are contracted by God to be safe, to be sound. So it means those angels, I'm almost finished, those angels are there to take care of you, to serve you. Okay? If you've seen the demons that I've seen, you'd be a lot happier than you are right now. You know, I was worshiping in a country about 3 years ago in a church planting action out there. And while we're busy worshiping God, suddenly I see this creature. I've never seen one like that. I've seen quite a few, but not one like this. It looks like a gargoyle. You know, if you go to Europe and you have those creatures on the church buildings, it looks like that. But it can't see me. But I'm worshiping God and I'm looking at it. And I still said to God, who's this? And God said, Molech. I didn't know who Molech was at the time. Okay. And God begins to tell me the history of this creature. It's a principality, how it's been operating in this nation for hundreds of years, and no one's ever dealt with it. No one's ever seen it before. And the thing can't see me, and I see how it's like pulling the strings for this entire nation, how it's operating the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I still say to the Lord, I think you should send some angels to help me deal with this. It's true. I said that, I promise you. I said to the Lord, this one I think you must send me some angels. He said, you don't need angels. Just speak a word. Amen? Okay. To deal with that creature. We're not talking about the angel. Listen, you have so much authority, but if you could just understand these things. But I'm saying that if God is sending angels to us now as ministering spirits on the earth, let me explain to you, and I'll close with this, what's really going on. And I need some encouragement. Okay. All right. Just go with me to Genesis. Thank you. Just go with me to Genesis chapter number 28, and we'll take it from verse 10. Actually, before we do that, let's read out of John chapter 1, verse 51. Sorry. John chapter 1, verse 51. This, Jesus is talking to Nathanael. We know all this story about Nathanael. He was sitting under the tree, and before he met Jesus, Jesus saw him sitting under the tree, heard what he was saying, said some good things about him, touched his life. Nathanael was radically touched. But he says to Nathanael, and he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What's he talking about? He's talking about a realm of illumination, a realm of understanding that causes you to go beyond being a carnal Christian to a place of being a spiritual Christian. There is a big difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. Paul says there's a natural man, a carnal man, and a spiritual man. The natural man is the unregenerate man. He's a human being, plain and simple. But then when you're a Christian, you can be a carnal Christian operating out of your lower nature, saved. But then you have a spiritual man. God is taking the church, the body of Christ, by His Spirit, by His Word, to a place they've never been before. I'll explain it in the next 10, 15 minutes. You'll get it if you'll just stay with me for the next few minutes. But he says to Nathanael in the New Testament, he says, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In this case, Jesus is the connection between the earth and heaven. But let's go to the story in Genesis chapter number 28. And we read it from verse 10. I'm almost finished. I'm going to pray for you. I'm trying to go as quickly as I can. Genesis chapter number 28, verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. That means change to the next verse. Thank you. So he came to a certain place. He came to a certain place. You are finding yourself in time. I hate time, but let's just talk about time. In a certain place. It may seem uncertain, but God is busy. Very, very busy behind the scenes right now, and has brought His people around the world. Dear Lord God Almighty, I sent a message to Pastor Rick Renner and prophesied about Russia and his ministry, and I didn't even know the dudes in America. Sent me a message back. Sent another prophecy to Robert Mugabe. Sent another prophecy to presidents. We have the CIA, the FBI, Supreme Court judges, presidents, ambassadors listening to us. We can't get the church to listen. to a certain place. Right now, I want to prophesy to you and say, you are finding yourself in a certain place. What that place consists of is kind of irrelevant. What is relevant is it's certain. A certain place, not an uncertain place. And I'm playing prophetically on words now. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. If we understand the story, we know that Jacob, who is supplanter, who is deceiver, has lied, deceived, cheated, has been competitive in a negative sense. Even from his mother's womb, he tried to hold his brother back and take what was not rightfully his to take. Can we agree? He's one messed up dude. Amen. Now he's stolen his brother's inheritance as the oldest one. Not only has he stolen his inheritance, now he's on the run. Can you drop that a little bit, honey? It's a bit too aggressive for me. Thank you. Now he's on the run, right? He's on the run. And he's all alone. He's lost everything. His life has fallen to pieces. The sun has set. It's a dark, lonely, hard, difficult, cold, unforgiving, if you will, place. And there are many Christians who find themselves, it might be within their souls, it might be within their physical bodies, it might be within their marriages, it might be within their ministries, but they've come to a certain place and it's dark and it's lonely and it's cold. And he's outside the city walls. It's unsafe. He doesn't feel safe. He shouldn't feel safe. And his brother has murderous intent. There are people out to kill him, to get him. And it's, in his mind's eye, a very bad, uncertain place to be. But God says, I've brought him to a certain place. And he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones. This guy is so poor that the best he can do for a pillow is use a rock. He takes that stone and he puts it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. No blanket, no mattress, no friends. No family. Everybody's against him. And he thinks this is about as uncertain as it gets. No, that's when God brings you to a certain place. And this certain place changes the way you see everything. Because what's about to happen when you get illumination, your perceptions change. And what needs to take place in the body of Christ before we are able to jump into this revival that is already being released on the planet. There's a lot more I could share with you. I'll unfold some of the secrets that God has been sharing with me over the next two nights or three. But many of you, whether you know it or not, regardless of your status in life, good or bad. In this case, Jacob, not so good. Deceiver, liar, supplanter. All alone. Next verse, please. Then he dreamed a night vision, if you will. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. There's a connection that's taking place that goes beyond his circumstances, that goes beyond where he finds himself in his perception, an uncertain, difficult, hard place. Not nice at all. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now let me stop there for a second. in every one of the visions that I've had concerning these angels, I have not seen them ascend. I've only seen them descend. And when I asked the Lord about that, why am I seeing them descending, not ascending? He says, because they've already come to me. And what do they do when they go there? They go and present your prayers to him there. They go and present your needs to him there. They go and present what you desire there. He goes, and that's what these angels have been doing. So they've been presenting all this stuff to God. Now God is saying, okay, it's certain. It's my time now. It's my plan. It's my purpose. Now you go back, and you go back with a breakthrough. You go back with a victory. You go back with whatever God desires to give to them to bring back, spiritually speaking, to us here on the earth. And to me, the interpretation of these visions that I've had concerning these holy angels, sorry, I can't see through there, but so I'm going to just read here, so I'm not being rude. But these angels are descending. Now we know Jesus is the ladder, but they're descending. And something begins to happen to Jacob, which is about to begin to happen to you. Let's go to the next verse and see what happens. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to your descendants. In other words, this place of pain is about to become his place of reign. This place of pain is about to be seized, to be occupied, and to become a future inheritance even for his descendants. In other words, wherever you might find yourself right now, in your place of pain, in your place of shame, in your place of whatever it is that is uncertain, God is about to turn it around into that which is a certainty concerning you and your descendants going forward. And everything is about to change. Your perceptions are about to change. The place you find yourself in is about to change. Your marriage is about to change. Your finances are about to change. Your spiritual perception is about to change. Your circumstances are about to change. You're about to find out that you are not just a nobody, a Jacob, a failure, a loner, in pain, in shame, in darkness, in a hard, cold, lonely place. No, you're about to find out that you're a prince with God. That's who you are. How many of you remember that Caleb's name became Israel? Because he never gave up. He was resilient, just like you are resilient. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. I could go on a tangent, but I want to come down now. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. God says, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you tonight. How's that for a promise? He says, I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. 3 years ago on live television, TBN then became FBN, which was Faith Broadcasting Network. The guy had been trying to get me on there for about 3 years and TBN, and I turned it down because I was shying away from the media because it had been too much for us back in the day. As you know, we were in just about every single station. The world liked what we were doing. The church didn't, but the world did. Why is that? Well, the church didn't like the fact that I had 15 witches living in my house. They didn't like that fact. They didn't like the fact that when I went to church on a Sunday, I took about 25 Satanists with me. They didn't like that fact. They didn't like the fact that I had homosexuals living in my house. They didn't like the fact that I went into nightclubs and discos and brothels. They didn't like it. CNN thought it was fantastic. Carte blanche. Good morning, South Africa. We can go on and on. Front pages of the newspaper, your national newspapers, blah, blah, blah. So I pulled out of the media after my son had his first child, my oldest son. He said, Dad, please, just give us a break. We, as a family, we need a break. So after about 3 years ago, I let my last SRA go. But 3 years ago, we were in a place called in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. And I prophesied from there a whole lot of things, but I was prophesying specifically to Africa. And I prophesied to Robert Mugabe, President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe. And one of his people were there in the meeting. And I said to him, in 3 years' time, you will be removed and you will be replaced by another. And three times I said, in 3 years' time. That was in November. It was the 4th of November, 2014. My team and I were ministering there. 3 years to the month, it came to pass. But from the platform, at the end of my prophecy, I said, that which I have prophesied from this platform shall surely begin to take place and come to pass within 3 years' time. Now, I'm telling you tonight that this word that I'm prophesying to you tonight is going to come to pass and is going to accelerate for those that receive it, and is going to move speedily in your lives so that you can begin to arise up and no longer see yourselves as a Jacob in an uncertain place, but find yourselves becoming princes with God, if you will, in your perception, in your understanding, because you may know it, but do you understand it? Next verse, I'm almost finished. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. Dear Lord God Almighty, some of us could do with a wake-up call. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, his perceptions change. Are you getting what the Lord is saying to you tonight? I'm prophesying. I'm not teaching. This is called prophetic preaching. His perceptions changed. Your perceptions are about to change. With illumination comes a change in perceptions. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Many of you may feel that God has abandoned you. Many of you may feel that God is no longer busy. Or many may feel just all alone that God is not functioning. It feels like God has left you, that God's not there. But with illumination that is being released upon the earth right now, there is coming a change in perception. You're going to begin to realize that no matter what you've been through, God has been with you every step of the way. And you're going to look back and you're going to realize that He's actually been there all the time, bringing you to a place of breakthrough like you've never experienced before. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? I wish I could explain that to you. You look back over your life and the pain you were going through at that time, where you felt like nobody was there and your world was falling to pieces of the shattered life. 10 years go by, 15 years go by, 20 years go by, and you look back and you realize, man, how awesome. Not the event, not the pain. No one rejoices in that. But you realize God has been with you all the time. And with that understanding, it's like a light goes on, and suddenly you're going to be realize that this is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven, which means you'll recognize that through Jesus Christ, who has become the ladder, we called it Jacob's ladder then, but that this house, God is, whether you feel him or not, in your place of pain, God's going to turn it around, and that's going to be your place of reign. If your place of pain has been drugs or prostitution or immorality or whatever it is, God's going to flip that thing over, and you're going to reign in that place, and you're going to be able to help others come out of that area, of that pain, of that shame, and God's going to take you as a prince in that area, because you are not a nobody. You are a king. You are a prince. You are a priest, a royal priesthood, mindly, and you have access to heaven. You have access to heaven. Hallelujah. Last scripture, I think, and then I'll pray for you. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. That's all he had to give. But he gave an offering, and he anointed that rock, and that rock became the chief cornerstone of the temple. We could go on, but I want to close. I just wanted to say to you that angels are watching over you and your children, and that this illumination, this spiritual invasion, if you will, is going to cause many of your perceptions to change. And as a result of that understanding, you're going to find that you can reign in your place of pain. And you can rise up, and out of that can come life and joy and even an inheritance and even a future where you might think there is no future. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, can you give Jesus a praise offering?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.